And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Robbie and Rex Road, sponsored by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
Super. How's it going?
It's good. There's no wreck outside our building today that we're witnessing. So far, so good.
Do we know when, maybe Nick knows, when that, like, he actually got out of here, like the car got
I have no
here?
Idea.
Yeah. He was gone by the time we left, right?
Was he?
Yeah, he was.
I think by the time we left, he was gone.
Oh, okay. Cool. Good way to pay attention by me, but to when he hit the pole and when he left. All right. Well, I hope he's all right, man. Hope he's listening.
Yep. Hope everything's going.
Looking at your phone.
Hope you're off to a better start today than you were yesterday. Nick Keyser, how are we doing? What's going on?
I guess I'm super as well. We're 3 days away from the Super Bowl, so yeah, have at it.
Wow, Keyser's on his A game today.
6 a.m. wordplay.
Man, pretty good stuff there. We got a lot to get to on the program here today. David Poyle, former Nashville Predators general manager, will join us at 7 o'clock. We'll catch up with him. Also get to a really cool thing they're doing on Tuesday night at Bridgestone Arena with the Predators. So looking forward to that coming up at 7 o'clock. Our weekly visit with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, who I assume, Joe, is out there in Vegas. So this could be an interesting phone call. He may have gone out raging all night out there in Vegas.
Yeah, well, I texted him yesterday. I'm like, hey, man, just giving you a little heads up. And I was like, is it – because Vegas is part of the year Mountain, part of the year Pacific, I think. Right?
I believe you're correct.
I think that's right. So I was like, are you Mountain? Because obviously if it was Mountain, it would only be 7. That'd be a big deal. But, yeah, it's Pacific. So he's like, oh, boy. But it sounds like, this week is already getting at him a little bit.
Well.
So I see a lot of that out there, which I can understand. I haven't been to Las Vegas in 20-plus years. And, like, more than 2 days there is hard.
I've never been.
Even for a young person.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going next week.
Well,
for the first time in 20 plus years to go see the Lions in the Super Bowl. Oh, wait, they're not in the Super Bowl.
It's been nice knowing you.
Yeah, yeah. Katie'll keep me together, hopefully.
Hopefully so. We'll see what happens on that front. So, again, a lot to get to on the program here today. Best and worst things in sports coming up at 6:45. And we got some tickets to give away a little bit later in the show. And you're going to want to be tuned in for that. We're going to be doing these the next few days in honor of Valentine's Day coming up. Nice Kenny Chesney concert later this summer that we're going to be giving away tickets to. So make sure you tune in for that. We'll have some questions that you can answer via our text line to hopefully qualify for some tickets. So we'll get into that a little bit later in the program. Joey, it is draft talk season officially, especially for a team like the Titans, who did not make the playoffs and who has been out of playing football for a significant portion of time now. And, of course, a lot of these prospects are making their way through the Super Bowl and going on radio shows and TV shows and all the like and being interviewed. And Brock Bowers made some headlines yesterday. He was on with Chris Sims and talked about, they always ask people, like, where do you want to go? Where do you want to be drafted? Where would you like to see, you go? And, Brock Bowers started out with, the typical answer of, well, wherever somebody wants me is where I'd like to be. And then he just kind of nailed it down. He's like, I wouldn't mind being a Tennessee Titan. And, of course, that raised Chris Sims' eyebrows. That raised a lot of people's eyebrows. So, naturally, our friend Jarrett Stillman, who, by the way, will have a one-on-one interview with Will Levis today at 2 o'clock. So, make sure you tune in for that. So, Will Levis, to begin Jarrett's show today out from Vegas.
Hey, tip to Will, don't touch your face. Don't look at your phone while you're having an interview with Mr. Stillman. He might spend a month on it.
Make sure that the Instagram stories are professional for a quarterback.
That's right.
Was a big talking point last year,
That's
too.
Right. So have a good personality for him.
Will Levis coming up a little bit later. But Jared caught up with Brock Bowers yesterday and asked him about those comments. Here's what Brock Bowers had to say yesterday on Stillman and Company.
So is there anything, like, when it comes to the tight end position, the two best tight ends in the NFL are playing this week? Because, it's tight end doesn't look as normally a premium position, but you don't seem to play like a normal tight end, do you?
I feel like Georgia used me a little differently here and there. They put me in the backfield, flexed me out wide. Just kind of used me wherever, and I thought that was a ton of fun. So, I think I might be a little different maybe.
So that was Brock Bowers with Jared yesterday. Also talked about wanting to be drafted by the Titans and kind of clarified those comments a little bit too. But it is interesting to hear him just outright say, you know, wouldn't mind being a Tennessee Titan yesterday. It gets the wheels turning in my mind a little bit, Joe Rexroad. Because you know what I wouldn't mind seeing being a member of the Tennessee Titans? Brock Bowers.
Yeah. Well, he's of course, he's from around here. So I feel like Nashville, like when I was in college and even like growing up in Michigan, like young people go to Chicago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's where, in Iowa, wherever you live, you know, like your best bet, if you're going to get like a job in a big city or something, you're going to go to Chicago. And Chicago's the fun city and all that stuff. And I feel like Nashville is like, that is what Nashville is. Anyone in this region, it's like, this is the, you know, this is the cool city. This is the big, cool city. And I understand that Atlanta's right there too. But I think that we're cooler. And so, also, if you're Brock Bowers, you look at the draft board and you can see that it's actually, you know, I mean, it's a team that would be right in that wheelhouse
right.
for you. So, but good for him for saying it. Derrick Henry said this too, even though he tried to refute it. But he told Casa Grande back during the draft period that he was hoping to go to the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Now, that was also, I mean, I'm sure a lot of players love the Cowboys or whatever, but that was also, the Cowboys were the only team that were obviously going to get a running back, and they had the fourth pick, and they took Zeke. But I like that. I like when players say, just go ahead and I mean, if you're, like, the idea of players being afraid to say that stuff, think about that. It's like, oh, now the Commanders aren't going to draft you because you said you wanted to go to the Titans.
Yeah.
No, that's not.
I need him to just stand on the table. I will be a Tennessee Titan. I'm not going anywhere else. Don't draft me. Like Eli Manning style. I'm going to be a Titan.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
There you go. That would, yeah. Jared should have gotten that out of him.
He should have. He should have. So, obviously, I mean, that was interesting yesterday. Now, In all seriousness, does Brock Bowers saying that change my draft strategy if I'm the Titans? No. Like, if you're sitting there at number 7 and you believe that Joe Alt is a franchise-changing player for you at a position of need and that's your highest-graded player, then you take Joe Alt, right? Like, that's what you do if you're the Titans. Now, having said that, and we've talked about this, when you take a look at the first part of this, And we were discussing the number 7 overall pick. Like, if you're on the board and you're the Titans and Brock Bowers is your best-rated player, I mean, I would not be mad at the Titans for taking that. I know some people freak out and be like, you took a tight end when you have a glaring need at left tackle. But I do look at Brock Bowers as one of those guys that has a chance to be really, really special.
You have to be in the business of getting great players.
Yeah.
It just – and, yeah, I feel like this team in particular, where they are in their timeline, you know, it's not like – like, even think about the mistake they made in the 2017 draft, but they had this breakthrough season. They'd gone 9-7, and, you know, they it was like, okay, they're about ready to win the AFC South here. So – they have no receivers, so they took a receiver 5th. Well, that was a mistake. I mean, they went with need, and I know they like Corey Davis and all that stuff, but they overdrafted him. They went with need, and, you know, you go with any chance you have to get a great player, you get a great player. I know some of the scouts of the Titans at the times wanted Jamal Adams badly. Now, look, I understand also where his career has gone, but for a while, it was pretty freaking good.
Yeah.
Like Jamal Adams and Kevin Byard, you know? That might have been all right for a bit, you know, for a few years. But regardless, that's the whole point is, like, you have to be in the business of getting great players. The Titans have – they don't have a great player at tight end.
No.
If you have a great player at a particular spot, then I can see it. Like, man, I don't know. But even then, like, when the Titans took Jeffrey Simmons, they had a great player at defensive tackle. He was getting up there, but he was still – I mean, in 2018, right? 2018, Casey was still made. You know, get a great player. So, yes, that's what it's about. If you let need win out over who you think is a better football player, long run, you're going to lose.
Yep, and you got to take the best football players that are available to you. And, look, the same conversation goes for, you know, if you think Rome Odunze is that guy, right? Like if Rome Odunze, you look at him and you're like, wow, like we can't pass up that guy at number 7 overall, then you take him. Now, I think there's a chance, and look, I have no idea, like the initial grades on the Titans draft board. I mean, I think there's a good chance that if Joe Alt was available at number 7, they would look and say, yeah, that guy's graded pretty highly on our draft board. I mean, the more people talk about Joe Alt and the more that, you know, people look at the film and all that stuff, I mean, there are people talking about him like he's a guaranteed, like, 12-year starter at left tackle in the NFL. Just put the helmet on and he's ready to go.
Yeah. Well, I think the Alt-Fashanu comparison is higher floor for sure for Alt. And I do think high floor is something to consider for sure, but possibly higher ceiling for Fashanu. So, you know, if you think that and you have Bill Callahan, maybe you're like, yeah, take the higher ceiling guy who needs more work. But people are blowing me up because Brock Bowers is from Napa, California. He's from Athens, Georgia, okay? Right now he's from Athens, Georgia.
Yeah.
He went to college in Athens, Georgia, so now he is a Southerner.
You adopt.
I'm a Southerner now.
You got to see that coach every day wearing that stupid visor. At some point, you just wrap yourself in all things Southern at that point.
Exactly.
Anytime I take a shot at Kirby Smart's visor, I will do it.
I like it. Yeah, Brock Bowers is just all had this urge to eat Goo Goo clusters all the time now. You know, he's Southerner, man.
We're off and running today on Robbie and Rex Road. Brock Bowers saying yesterday, you know what? Wouldn't mind being a Tennessee Titans. We'll take your reaction to that. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. More on that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits tonight as MTSU takes on Liberty on the road. Pregame at 5:30, tip-off at 6 o'clock, with coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic Hits app and at 93.3classichits.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Thursday morning. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, how many times between now and draft day are you ready for the, should the Titans be safe and take a left tackle, or should they go crazy and take a skill position discussion that's going to be inevitable over the next few weeks and months?
I'm just wondering if, so we're talking, what's the date of the draft? I mean, we're basically like 3 months away. A little bit less than 3 months away. It's like right at the end of April or the beginning of May.
Yeah, it is April 25th.
God, I just realized. God dang it, Mike Wilson. Mike Wilson's getting married on the 26th. Oh, my God. I'm only thinking about this because we were talking about it last night. Like, Katie and I were like trying to, you know, do our calendar and stuff. God dang it, Mike Wilson. Well, going to have to be doing some draft tweets from the dance floor. Okay, so the 25th. So we're talking, okay, about 2.5 months. Yeah, like when we have new information on the prospects, which thankfully we will pretty soon, that's cool. I think it's good to talk about the prospects. But, like, can't we all just agree? Like we've talked about it so much, and I can just feel the repetitiveness of this conversation happening and just pulling my brain apart in the next few weeks. I mean, can we all just kind of put a moratorium on this? Like, I don't know if they should take Joe Alt or a receiver. I don't know who's going to be available. I do know that, like, they should not be resolved to do anything right now. There's no answer. I mean, Caroline on Jared versus Joe, and a preordained win for Jared yesterday. Again, you know, it's like one of the questions is like, should they take a tackle or should they, again? I'm not mad about it, but it's like my first answer was like, I don't have an answer for you. I don't know. I don't know what their evaluation of the players is, and you know, I don't know who exactly is going to be available. If they think Malik Nabers is going to be a great player, and he's there, and they still have the more pressing need for the tackle, but they have him as the overall higher-rated player. Take the higher-rated player.
As our buddy Zach in Nashville points out on the text line, I think my favorite part of the Jared versus Joe competition yesterday was how basically, I guess Jared thinks Tony Gonzalez is like Bo Scaife running around out there. It's like, oh, he's just some guy. It's Tony Gonzalez out there. Who cares? He's not great. You know, he never won a whole lot.
Yeah, I don't remember some amazing play he made in a Super Bowl. Okay. I don't remember Barry Sanders doing that either.
I was listening to that. I was like, well, this is one of the all-timers. Tony Gonzalez is basically like, you know, Anthony Firkser out there running around.
See, this is why I need an older person asking the questions. I'm not trying to get rid of you, Caroline. But, you know, like this is like the outrage of, you know, a boomer for that would be. I'm trying to think. I mean, Jared was old enough to watch football when Tony Gonzalez played, wasn't he?
Yeah. I mean, that statement alone was worth the loss. It was worth the loss.
Thank you. That's what I should have said at the end. The Stackhouse should be fired now or whatever. You know, it's fired all the time right now. We'll always win for Jared. But, that is the L for him. Tony Gonzalez is one of the top, what? I mean,
five?
Easily five. Yeah. I mean, who are they? I mean, it's him and Gates and
Shannon Sharp.
And Gronk, yeah.
Gronk, for sure.
Gronk, Kelsey. And Sharp, and Kelsey, right?
Yeah.
I think that's it. I mean, if there's somebody we're missing, I love Todd Christensen and Mark Bavaro, and there's others, but I think those are your top five. So, I mean, yeah. Come on, Jared.
Will on the text line says, getting annoyed about early draft talk while you all are initiating early draft talk.
Now listen though. It's not early draft talk. We're gonna talk about, obviously, right? We're gonna talk about this stuff. When Brock Bauer says something like that, that's a good thing to talk about. Again, there's gonna be things that keep coming out about and the movement out there, the quarterback movement. We got free agency coming. So we're gonna talk about the draft. But that particular question, I think it's been answered, right? Like, or at least for me, it has. And the answer is, I don't know. Yeah, but the idea that no way, I don't care, they got to take a tackle. No, then you're just, that's how a franchise fails. You don't do it that way. So if we can all agree on that, I think we just move on from that, can't we?
I think so. Okay. Jimmy Beans on the text line, going with a Rex Road approach to this question, although Kuharsky shut this down the other day, but we'll ask it anyway. Even though I still believe we're in dire need of good offensive linemen, does the fact that we now have Bill Callahan give us confidence that he can make more with less, meaning later round players or other acquired offensive linemen, if we're looking for a change? How much better can we see out of Raiden, Skoronski, and others with his coaching, meaning we could shift our attention to Bowers or another skill position in the first round? The Bill Callahan effect.
Yeah, that we talked about it. Yeah, I mean, you really can look at it both ways. You could look at it that way, like, hey, you know what? This kid we have rated, we're going to be able to get him in the second. We have him rated lower than this kid we were going to take, but Bill's going to make him as good as that kid, so let's do that. But you could also look at it like, let's give Bill the absolute best of the best and then take a guy who would be really good to great in the NFL and turn him into an all-pro, right?
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, as Jeff from Hendersonville points out, and I thought this was true and was looking it up in the process, and he's confirmed, Antonio Gates, undrafted free agent.
Well, there's a bad take, because yesterday I was like, was Gates a first rounder? Because, God, he should have been. That's amazing.
Yes, he should have been. 955 catches, over 11,000 yards.
UDFA, huh?
Yeah.
No kidding.
That's pretty good UDFA.
That is a pretty good UDFA. And I think Gonzalez went like 12th or whatever. But Zach says that. Zach, this is a big statement. But said Jared's take about Tony Gonzalez might have been his worst take to date. Yeah, I'm not going to go there with you. I mean, we got Rand Carthon wasn't on the Christmas card, bro. Like, you know, like we got some
God,
takes.
That was awesome. I forgot about that one.
We got some takes. But that was a pretty bad one. And also, I know Zach, Zach's 38. He's not a boomer. But to me, anyone who, I guess, remembers football in the year 2000 is now a boomer.
I got somebody on YouTube asking you, what would be Joe Alt pro comparison? Your thoughts on Joe Alt?
I have watched a fair amount of Joe Alt, and I think he's a really good-looking left tackle. I mean, my comparison, like, you know, the last great left tackle here, even though some Titans fans somehow don't realize he was great, is Taylor Lewan. He's definitely not as, you know, long and athletic, I would say, as Taylor Lewan. You know, Lewan had those traits, you know, that were pretty rare, which overcame some of the stuff about him that people were worried about, right? But Alt, I think a little more stout, if I can, you know, sound like Trevor Mattis when he talks about offensive line play. He anchors very well.
Nice.
You know, just a powerful, great feat. I don't have a great comparison, but he looks to me like a really good NFL left tackle. So
bottom line is, when you would expect this to be the case most years, I think it's especially the case this year in a draft that looks to be pretty good, especially with the talent available in the first round. The Titans should have their pick of a few really, really good players, right? Like, they, it's number 7 overall. You ought to be deciding between some really, really good players, some elite players, hopefully, if you choose right, that can help your franchise for a long time. Be that Bowers, be that Neighbors, be that Alt, be that whoever. When you're picking at 7 overall in most drafts, and I think especially, look, a lot of people are really high on this draft, you know, and it's beyond just the quarterbacks. A lot of people are really high on the receivers in this draft and the linemen in this draft. And, you know, Brock Bowers, I think, has a chance to be one of those special tight ends. So if you do your job correctly, you should be coming away with pretty darn good player if you're the Titans at number 7 overall, regardless of what position it is.
Yeah, and again, that question that we're never going to ask again until the draft. It is just so much. There's so much information still to be gathered, you know, by the teams and us, but the teams are going to have way more than us, you know, about all these guys and how they compare to each other, not just positionally, but as overall players. And, you know, sometimes it's like you have these obvious pick. Everybody, all the mock drafts have a couple guys at a position in the first round, but then a team says, well, actually, this third guy that everybody thinks is going in the late second, we have him just below. So we don't need to go here and reach here. We're going to go for the better player at that spot, which is the way to do it.
We'll have more of your thoughts on the Titans to get to coming up next. More of your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I'll also throw the question out there. If the Chiefs pull this off on Sunday and they win their third Super Bowl, where does this dynasty rank all time in today's NFL with the parity and all those things? We'll get into that. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I got a 4-pack of wristbands to give away to the National Wild Turkey Federation Convention coming up at Opryland, February 14th through the 18th. Be caller 3, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Call the 3. We'll win a 4-pack of wristbands to the National Wild Turkey Federation Convention coming up next week at Opryland, February 14th through the 18th. I'll be out there on the 16th.
I may have to go check this out. Can you get a shot of wild turkey at the Wild Turkey Convention?
You know, I bet you could find one somewhere.
Yeah?
I bet you could find one.
It seems like they'd go together well.
Lots of people running around that thing. I was telling you about it the other day. It's wild. No pun intended.
Yeah. I've always wanted to go to the Wilson County Fair, and now I want to go to this, the Wild Turkey Convention.
Have you not been to the Wilson County
Fair?
No. Man.
I've been to the Williamson County Fair.
It's not the same.
That's not the – yeah, I know.
The Wilson County Fair is something else, too.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah, it is. There's no question. It's definitely something else.
It's on the bucket list.
So maybe this
year? I need to get to pretty quickly.
By the way, Herb in Kentucky pointing out the Chiefs have won 4 Super Bowls. Yes, they have. But this will be 3 in this era if they win this one.
Yeah, we're talking Len Dawson now, smoking a dart on the sideline.
Super Bowl 3. Yes, they did win back then. By the way, John and Thompson, I have seen this. Some of my Badgers friends were texting me about this yesterday. John and Thompson Station. Wisconsin Badgers head coach Luke Fickell says he's been in contact with Vrabel about potentially joining the program in some capacity. What do you think? I believe they're roommates and coached together at Ohio State. Vrabel could be helping out at Wisconsin a little bit.
Yeah, I think I could see that. You know, that would be one of those, you know, what I mean, basically it'd be like all the coaches who go to Saban's program, right, who have a connection with Saban. Obviously, Fickell and Vrabel are roommates and best friends at Ohio State.
We're going to get into Saban a little bit later in the program, too.
Yes, love it. But I could see that. Someone else reported yesterday, and I hate when I forget who did it, but someone reported that Vrabel expressed some interest in the Cowboys D coordinator job.
Yeah.
And as you know, PK said, I think he said on the air, but I guess if not, whatever. Vrabel, I think it's fair to say, you know, Vrabel is not closed off to a DC gig, and I think that's a good way to go about it. I mean, I taking a year off. Also, I could make the case for that. Okay,
yeah,
get paid a lot of money to do nothing. But to stay connected to the game, again, we've already talked about Vrabel. He doesn't have to do this anyway with the money he made as a player. Very few players make the money he did as a player and then go into the coaching grind. Maybe he will do the. He could also do the TV thing.
Mm.
I'd be here for that.
I would too.
How about like Vrabel and Brady in a 3-man booth?
Just, be pretty good.
Intimidating the hell out of whoever the play-by-play nerd is.
Yeah, yeah. It really could be.
And by the way, somebody, people.
Can you believe the physical stature of this guy that I'm doing the game with in here? My goodness.
Third and three. I can't do this, guys. Mike, will you go in the other
take
room?
Over.
People bring up on the text line, and it's a good point. Jason Witten should get some love here.
Sure.
I will say, I didn't realize Witten was as high as he was on the all-time reception list, right behind Gonzalez, who's third, by the way. Third. All-time receptions, Tony Gonzalez. And Witten has more than Gates, did play longer than Gates. I consider Gates the better player. But Witten should get love there when we're talking about the all-time best tight ends.
So if Kansas
City, VFL, and you didn't even think about him.
I thought about him. I don't think he's top five, but yeah. I thought about him.
Is he six?
He might be six.
Okay. That's respect for Jason Witten.
Absolutely.
VFL.
So if Kansas City pulls this off on Sunday and they win, that'll be Super Bowl number three for Patrick Mahomes and this group here with Andy Reid. I think you can officially at that point probably call it a dynasty that they put together over the last few years here. And they've been to another Super Bowl. We've talked about the AFC title games they've lost. So they've been right there knocking on the door basically the whole time over the past 6-7 years. So with that in mind, if they pull this off and they win their third one, you start to think about, you know, those Patriots teams, especially, you know, late last decade and then the early part of the 2000s. Obviously, the Cowboys in the 90s, the 49ers, the Steelers. I mean, there have been some great dynasties in the NFL. What do you think about this one? If they pull this off on Sunday, where does this one rank in your mind, given the state of today's NFL and just kind of the whole picture around it, if Kansas City pulls this off for the third time?
Yeah, it's right there with – I mean, what are the good ones? The Cowboys got 3 out of 4 years there. How about them Cowboys? Jimmy Johnson into Barry Switzer. I'll try not to rip on Barry Switzer. I had somebody at The Athletic got real mad at me for a little shot I took at Barry Switzer.
Really?
Yeah. But it was like the column about Saban and Belichick and everything, but it's like, you know, they didn't have a great coach, in my opinion, Barry Switzer. I think he was a little bit on scholarship with that, but hey, man, whatever. You won the titles. The Niners, like you said, I mean, the Niners – the interesting thing about the Niners is you're talking about two great quarterbacks. So that stretches from that Steve Young finally winning the Super Bowl against the Chargers, 95, going all the way back. You know, going back to that first one, Montana, against Chris Collinsworth in this beautiful Pontiac Silverdome in 82. And in that, how many titles is that? So that's kind of like the Patriots one. It's really totally different players.
It's five total, right, though?
But it's, yeah, so it's five, and so that's 5 in 14 years.
Yeah.
And I still kind of almost feel like the 80s Montana Niners are one thing, and then you have Steve Young later, and then Montana goes to the Chiefs. But it's the Niners. I mean, that's an all-timer. The Steelers, to me, I still almost feel in the Super Bowl era, that to me is, I mean, you're talking about two repeats, and it's 4 out of 6 years. And, you know, just I think sometimes with dynasties, too, it's like either sometimes it's one great player, and that's what it really is with the Patriots. The Steelers, so many great players on both sides of the ball, but maybe the best defense ever. And maybe the best collection defensive talent. The George Perlis stunt 4-3 with Mean Joe Green totally changed schematics in the NFL and all this stuff. I mean, that's – then, you know, the receivers, the running backs, I mean, Webster, you know, like incredible roster and coaching and all that stuff. So I think that's the gold standard to me would be the Steelers. And I don't have any sort of like, emotional attachment to that. I just think that's the gold standard. The Patriots is interesting because it is really two things. Like it's the early Patriots. They won 3 out of 4.
Yep.
02, 04, and 05, and they were a great defensive team, and Brady was a great young quarterback, but he was able to definitely do less. We just talked about it the other day. I mean, he has 1,000 less yards in the same number of playoff games that Mahomes has now, right? He had like 220 a game. I mean, my God, people were ripping Tannehill. I know it wasn't 220, but, you know, I was like, Tannehill didn't do anything. Well, you know, Brady didn't have to, like, carry them. Then they go – how many years in a row without a Super Bowl? So they win it in 2005, and the next time they won it was 10 years later.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the Patriots. It is Brady, but it's, you know.
It's two different dynasties.
Yeah, that's when it was Brady. Now, of course, they also could have won more, but somehow Eli beat Brady twice,
yes,
including in 08 when that team was one of the most ridiculous teams we've ever seen. So the Chiefs now, I mean, they're if you get this one, and especially the fact that every single year they've at least been in the AFC title game with Mahomes – yeah, you're absolutely – the D word definitely applies. I don't know that it did.
It'd be three out of five if they win this one.
Yeah. So that certainly is right there. And, look, I think everybody – to me, everybody's chasing the complete dynasty, the same group of guys in a short period of time, which is the Steelers. But people can disagree if they like.
Yeah, it's interesting because – look, in a lot of ways, I think in today's NFL, it's harder to do just because of, I mean, number one, there's more teams. Number two, the system is basically designed, we hear this all the time, when there were 16 games, the system's designed for everybody to go 8-8, right?
Yeah. Well,
I mean, there's
there was
salary
no salary cap,
cap
way all, back
yeah.
then.
I mean, it's, I mean, so, like, that's why I put a little bit more stock into, like, the Patriots dynasty, and if Kansas City can pull this off, you know, their dynasty, because I think it's harder to do with the talent in the league, with the amount of teams that are now in the league, the salary cap, all those things. So, I mean, to me, it's right up there with, like, I think the Patriots, and you can really pick either one you want to pick, of the two, like, separate dynasties they have in the Brady era, I think they're the greatest one of all time. And to me, this is, if you win this one, you're approaching, you know, kind of that one run status. Now the Patriots were able to, you know, pull it off twice in like a decade span there. So we just kind of threw that out there of the longevity of it and Brady being the central part of that. And we're still a long ways away from figuring out if Mahomes can do that for an extended period of time like Brady did. But this stretch here, if they win three out of five, I think it's as impressive as any other team in league history, this run that they would have gone through.
Yeah, and yeah, I totally agree, like, in general on the – it is harder now, no question. You know, there's much more player movement. Like I said, it's very much designed for parity and all that stuff. I guess I just look at those Steelers teams, and they were so ridiculous. Like,
yeah.
it was – like, the players at every level on both sides of the ball were so – like –
Lynn Swann flying around out
yeah,
there.
Lynn yeah. Swann and John Stallworth and Franco Harris and Mike Webster in that offensive line. And, you know, Bradshaw is a Hall of Famer. I mean, he's probably the weak link. You know, the defense, every level. I mean, Hammond, Lambert, and Blunt. I mean, incredible talent. So I just look at that. That was just a moment in time where it's like, you know, just a ridiculous – plus with Chuck Knoll. And just even – I guess I even look back at the Steelers and look at what they've been all through time. And you know, like, to some extent, it was kind of – they've been able to maintain that kind of excellence because from the top, that's what they've been. But I hear you. I mean, I do think that the modern era dynasty is way more difficult to put together. The Steelers would have lost some of those guys in this
yeah.
system.
Coming up next, it's time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things for this week on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll do that. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5, The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles. Yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle. It's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Direct Road, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
You know, I've tried to look outside, but I guess we got plenty of time for that, right, once we get totally done with football. But my best is the Tennessee Volunteers men's basketball team going into Rupp Arena, delivering a haymaker immediately and never relinquishing the lead. I understand that Kentucky's not good on defense and they were shorthanded, but that's still pretty impressive when your All-American National Player of the Year, SEC Player of the Year candidate has an off night, which is 16 points, but still an off night, not shooting well, and you get 26 and 13 and 26 for, you know, from 13 assists from Zakai Ziegler, 26 from Josiah James, career highs for both. Ziegler, by the way, so last night, I think 17 and 9, so 43 points and 22 assists in his last two games, playing at an absolutely ridiculous level. The Vols are right there as good as anyone playing college basketball right now. My worst, my honorable mention is always like Super Bowl media day, stupid crap, you know. But nothing this year was really, it was just a lot of the usual stuff. So I'll go with Vanderbilt men's basketball.
We couldn't find anything else, so we'll go back to the overliable.
So a lot of it revolves around Kentucky, I guess, but 109-77. Kentucky always, to some extent, takes over Memorial Gym. Kentucky's a very talented team, but you lost 109-77, and it's just, I mean, the noise is, you know, I did disagree with the Jared Caroline conglomerate yesterday on everyone must be fired right now at this moment. Right now, fire him. I don't see the real benefit, but I think that's where things are headed at Vanderbilt.
Nick, these are your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Yeah, not a fair debate for you yesterday. I was listening in the grocery store, but I would say the Vols.
Thank you, Nick.
Vols quickly for me. I definitely agree. That was impressive. That, and I'm bringing it up because it was my called shot, even though Joe, I'm glad Joe agreed to that one, Robbie. So there you go. He actually agreed with a shot where I wasn't as specific in a matchup. So there you go.
You're getting better.
My honorable mention is that Forsberg played in the All-Star game and had 5 points. Matthews thought he was the MVP in his eyes. That was pretty cool. My worst, so the Tampa Bay Lightning had Mikhail Sergachev come back last night. And took a wrong twist and a turn after he went into the corner. I believe it was Alexis Lafreniere.
Yeah.
He was defending himself against the wall and bumped him and then took a tumble and a spell and looks like he's going to be out for the rest of the season. He posted last night super late and not very happy about it for sure.
Got his leg caught up under his body, kind of falling backwards. Yeah. It was not good looking.
Big man, too.
Yeah, big guy. And he, like you said, just got back from injury and looks like he's going to be out for a while. So. Tough one for Mikhail Sergachev last night. I'm going to start with my worst thing, Joe. I was reading this the other day. Shout out to your colleagues at the Athletic, Zach Rosenblatt and Diana Russini. Have you seen this on the New York Jets?
Yeah.
Just kind of everything. And there's the Rodgers part of this, you know, where obviously him getting hurt and his relationship with Zach Wilson. And then apparently, like, Robert Saleh, who I've always thought is, like, a pretty good coach, is a little paranoid up there in New York. And I don't know. They When you read this story about the Jets, it's not a surprise that they're just an absolute dumpster fire most of the time. And whether it's the coaching, the ownership, all of it, this story at the Athletic kind of goes through the detail of just what a disaster it's been. And there's like, I think they had like 30-something sources in here that were willing to talk. And this goes back to a little bit of what Rodgers said earlier in the year of like, how are there so many leaks around here? Like, it's unbelievable how many leaks there are. A lot of dysfunction in the New York Jets organization that was uncovered at the Athletic.
Yeah, and like Saleh's like, you know, talking about, like, you know, taking people's phones and looking at who's. It's like, yeah man, it's a losing battle. Coach well, try to win football games. Try to, you know, treat people well, coach well. There's always gonna be people who talk, but yes, this is an extreme. Situation. I think it does go with ownership.
I mean, it got me thinking because, look, they're really talented on defense, and Rodgers got hurt. So Rodgers, assuming he stays healthy this offseason, when next fall rolls around, there's going to be a lot of people saying, well, Jets got Rodgers. They're going to be really good. And I look at this dysfunction right now, and I'm like, are they? Are they going to be really good? Like, he's good. Last time we saw him, he's also 40 years old, coming off a torn Achilles. So. Yeah. Look, they'll be better than they were. I have no doubt about that because their offense will have a pulse with Aaron Rodgers. But This is wild, some of the stuff that's coming out about the New York Jets.
I think what they really need, they need Aaron Rodgers to get in front of everybody and say, guys, we are keeping it about football. That's what I do in my life. I keep it to football. Yeah. That's what we're going to do with the New York Jets.
Yep. By the way, he was on the Rogan podcast yesterday.
Oh, good.
So just
I'm sure some really good stuff there.
Just continuing to – I haven't seen anything from it yet. I just know he was on there, but I'm sure some good
stuff. Oh, we'll get some stuff. We'll get some clips today.
My best thing in sports, I was also going to say Tennessee, so I will give an honorable mention to the NBA at large. And the reason I bring that up, so you've had Joel Embiid put up 70 points a couple weeks ago. Steph put up 60 the other day. There are some wild performances going on in the NBA right now, which is fun to watch. Now, the other part of that is, like, does anybody play defense in the NBA anymore? That'd be nice. It starts to ramp up in all seriousness as the playoffs get closer, and the Denver Nuggets played some good defense last year against my beloved Miami Heat in the finals. But a lot of individual scoring right now that's pretty cool to watch in the NBA. It's fun.
Yep, it's amazing. It's an amazing era of the NBA. I mean, I'll keep, every time you bring it up, I'm going to go there. You know, like, I don't know that I love anything more than late 80s NBA, but yeah. It is the best it's ever been, and people who are missing it are missing incredible stuff. There's so many great players with so much skill. Yeah, you know, the defense. You get into a Tuesday and wherever, and you're going to have some lacking defense at times. But, man, I think it's more that these guys are just incredibly good.
I forget who it was.
And shoot the crap out of it.
A couple weeks ago, I saw a score, and it was like 148-145. I was like, oh, that must have gone to overtime.
Nope.
Straight up in the fourth quarter. Like, oh, okay, cool.
Which, by the way, I saw a Rucker tweet last night, which I agree is like, I need some Bama, Kentucky. I think they'd play like a 150 to 149 game in college hoops. Yeah. Maybe you would like college hoops better.
I would like college hoops better if that's the way that things went down. Coming up next, we'll be joined by former Predators general manager David Poile. We'll catch up with him and get to a really cool thing Preds are doing coming up on Tuesday at Bridgestone Arena as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.